Welcome to the Port Charles Update with your hosts, Mish and Mel.
Hello.
Hello, hello. It's American Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy American Thanksgiving. Or I think the Americans probably just say, happy Thanksgiving.
You know, that being said, we had a short week at GH, but I've been really torn up about it. But, you know, trying to gather the sadness and maneuver my way through it, this is what helped.
Okay.
So on Wednesday, the opening scene was Chase in the shower.
And I was
like, oh my God.
First of all, I was like, did you write more letters? Like, how busy have you been?
So last week we had Dante in the shower, gratuitous. This week we had Chase in the shower, gratuitous. And I feel like Chase is giving the Port Charles update naked distractions.
naked distractions. Oh my God.
To make us less sad about Jason. But you know what? I'm not mad at it. Like, bring it.
My gosh, I don't know how, but I feel like I need to work in naked distractions somehow. Like, if I make requests in some shape or form, be it in my personal life, in with regards to GH, I feel like that is something I would like to start doing more of, naked distractions. That's like the name of our podcast this week.
Right. And I think that's going to be my new pickup line for Brandon. I'm just going to be like, well, dude, I'm stressed out. I need some naked distractions.
That is so good. Okay. We should probably we'll talk about story. We promise. We promise.
Okay. Let's go to Greece. We're going to start with Greece.
We're going to go to Greece. I don't know. Like, I'm losing hope. Everything's going to be fine. I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't know. So, they were there. Multiple people got banged with the explosion, right? Because at first it looked like just like Jason got crumpled with rocks.
Yes. But
then everyone got a little banged up. And of course, Peter was like the first one to be like awake, being like, I got to escape again. Yeah. So like in that state, he's like, ooh, big rocks. Let me murder Drew. And that was where I was thinking, here we go. Here we go. Jason's going to pop up from the rubble and shoot him. It did not happen that way. But I was super glad that Drew woke up and was able to like lie down fight and save his life. He wiggled around and he's okay. So that's good. That was great news. Drew's okay. He lifted a beam off of himself. That was great. Yeah. And
who was the first person he ran to?
Brit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Total left connection.
I love how, like, because we talked about this last week, like, any person that shows it, like, look at each other, that we're like, they're a couple, they're going to do it, it's going to be an affair. And so I couldn't help but think this, okay? So this is kind of quoting Obrecht and her philosophy that she keeps telling Brit, you know, danger can bond people.
Yes.
But the thing is, like, Drew's also people. So I agree. Like that, I also agree with that. And so Peter just scurries. And I just kept thinking, how did he get from, because like in my imagination brain, they were in that space, that living room table space where the fight happened. And Peter took them out the front door.
Yes.
Okay. At the front door. And then he supposedly found tunnels and then they got lost in the tunnels. And there's a large compound. And to me, that feels like large distances. But then Peter just somehow shows up to a tunnel connected to that, like super fast. And then I could not have been happier with the fact that Robert came face to face with him.
Right? Oh, I'm right? So happy. I clapped at the TV.
Oh, I wish I could have seen that. So like, I love Robert because you're like, you know, he will kill him. And I love the way he was teasing him, just looking for a reason. And then Anna shows up, you know, all these places, they only have three walls. And she's like, no, I'm here. And I'm like, great. Because Robert could have shot him. You know, Peter would have definitely given him that chance. And then Anna shows up to the whole thing. And so I kind of love the way Obrecht reacted to Anna. Like, for like the fact that, like, that she's like, you're being loud, essentially, is what she was doing. And just kind of making fun of her whole approach. Like, hello, like, this is a serious situation. Do you not understand geology or, like, science? We need to get out of here. Like, I just loved how she was just poking at Anna. I thought it was hilarious.
I also felt it was like, I miss you, Anna. Thank you for coming.
A little bit of that, a little bit of that. And I mean, I thought it was sweet, right? That, like, Drew wanted to stay behind and, like, dig for his brother.
Yeah, I thought it was really sweet.
I also had a weird thought.
What?
It's so stupid. I was like, Jason and Drew can barely be alive at the same time.
I know.
Maybe they are one person. And, it's not true, but it feels that way. It really feels that way. This is kind of insane.
It does, though. If they exist in the world for more than 10 minutes, apparently things literally implode.
Yeah, it's bad. Like, it was okay. So I'm at this point, I'm still like, everything is fine. Like, this is me at this point. I'm like, oh my God, who cares? It's a bunch of rocks. Nobody actually gets squashed by heavy debris. You just dig them out. They stay whole. Like, that's the soap opera science right there. If a building collapses on you, you're okay. You just need to be dug out.
Exactly.
And I think that they should commit to that. So before we get to that, how did you feel about all of that? Because the thing is, Drew finally did leave, right? Like, he finally left the tunnels. And so we see everybody in that living room. Like, how did you feel about all of that, like, Peter interaction and, like, Peter doing the Peterness stuff?
Honestly, okay. So he was entertaining when they were in the tunnels. But when they got upstairs, it almost felt for me that, like, reality was setting in. Like, I was less, like, in the moment of survival like they were. So hearing him still kind of attacking them verbally was very hard. Because
it was.
It's just, like, and nobody is, like, put some damn duct tape on this man's mouth. Like, I know he has to say his piece, but it was so frustrating to watch, you know, how Britt react and Obrecht react and Drew and the things they said. And Peter was still allowed to go on.
It was hard. I find, like, Britt does such an amazing job, like, her emotions and how angry she was, you know. And then when Drew kind of, like, lunged at him, I don't know what it is, but I find it incredibly hot when people get angry at Peter or threaten him. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? Because I'm like, you're amazing, Drew. Like, I can run with this. And so, like, finally Anna is like, get him out of here. He talks a lot. Go. So that happens. And so, again, up until this point, I'm like, everything is fine. Everything is going to be fine. And then when Anna has this conversation with a specialist of holes, you know, rocks. Exactly, is all like, there's no sign of life. And still, I am not, okay, fine. Right now, I'm still not fully understanding what's happening. But she expresses this to them, and this is difficult. How are you at this point?
Okay, here's the thing. I am hearing your voice in my head telling me that everything's fine and that high-pitched thing you do. So I'm like, you know what, guys? This is a soap opera. He'll pop up somewhere else. We've had so many people come back from the dead this year. It is unreal.
They're all in Greece. They're all in Greece.
It's so true. So, like, I'm holding on to hope. And also, Hayden's name, well, not her name, but, like, the idea of her.
Mystery woman. Yeah, the concept of a Hayden was brought to light in Greece. Yeah, I love that.
So we know that there's still this one undead person or missing person just kind of lingering around. So maybe Jason just like it exploded and then he fell through the floor to another level of tunnels. And then
God, you should write for them. Like, you literally just turned all my fears, like, gone. They're gone. In my head, I the scene is playing out and now I'm okay. Everything is fine. I told you everything will be fine. Oh, I feel like there's nothing left to say, everybody. Everything is okay. I'm done.
Everything will be fine. Naked distraction / everything will be fine.
Everything will be fine. But, okay, so it was nice to have Britt kind of bring back the whole Scott thing. Like, you should call Scott. Like, I'm actually really excited for that, for like Scott to finally hear Obrecht's voice. But it was really rough because, you know, Britt is dealing with this, you know, in their world, this likely reality that Jason is dead and that, you know, she brought him there for the help.
I know. And my concern is like, yes, she has her mother back and her mom is really great support. And she's been like so awesome to her. What happens when she goes back? Like what happens with her friend circle that she just made? Is she able to depend? Oh my God. It's Brad, right? It's Brad. That's her best friend.
Yeah.
Okay, so
we watch GH.
Yes, I do. I just have a really bad memory.
Yeah, I have a bad name memory too.
So at least what I'm hanging on to is that she'll be able to like lean on Brad's shoulder.
Yeah, she'll have him back.
Exactly, and then potentially Drew. So we'll see how that goes.
I think there's going to be Drew. I think there's going to be more Terry. And I mean, look, I feel like Elizabeth is definitely forming a new situation, but I think it's quite possible that, you know, she might intermingle and who knows, it would be really interesting if, you know, Elizabeth ends up being a bit of a support with regards to all of this. But, the thing is like with Britt, you know, her mom was missing. And when she talked to Nina, you know, it was, that is sort of an issue, right? That Nina's actions resulted in her mom going missing.
Yes.
And I mean, look, I know, I think I remember at the time her kind of acknowledging like, you know, her mom is her mom and her mom can make her own choices. But I mean, like, I don't know if they're actually going to like shine any attention there in terms of like the Nina Britt relationship.
It would be nice if she unleashed on her. I would enjoy that.
Okay. So I can't understand how competent, well, maybe that's a strong word, WSB agents look at each other and go, you know what, guys, he's right. Let's take those cuffs off and let's get this man a cell phone. Like, you're not the PCPD, right? Like, you're not picking up some like burglar or like some kind of guy who snatched a purse,
right?
Like, you get the level of where you're working and what you do and who Peter is. Why would you allow yourself to be like manipulated to make any concession? I'm so confused.
I'm also shocked, quite honestly. I know like Anna had to do her scenes in the house in Greece, but like Robert or Anna or somebody that she trusts, because everything has gone so awry every single time they try to get him, yet he's around 10 guys, I won't say anything mean, that just are falling under his spell.
So he makes a phone call to Maxie, and at this point, it's really easy to understand how Maxie would never jump to the conclusion that he'd been arrested.
Exactly.
Okay, so there's that. And then when Maxie reaches out to Anna, because here she is hearing from Peter, and that's scary in itself, Anna is all super dismissive, being like, I'll call you back. And I'm like, after everything you put her through.
Yeah.
After, because you wanted to protect Peter, the fact that like she almost married him because you couldn't even step up then. Like at no point could you step up for Maxie at all. Valentine had to. And then after you hurt her, you wanted her to kind of get over it right away. And you kind of like pushed and you pushed and you pushed. You vowed to kind of capture Peter. And the fact that she accepted the thank you when Maxie was like, thanks for putting him away. I'm like, what'd you do though? What did you specifically do exactly? Because you happened to be the one that put your foot on his wrist? I don't know. It's just not how I saw it. And I was like, yeah, I got him. I got him real good. And I'm like, I don't think so. Right? I think Jason and Britt located him. I don't know.
I just think like Anna's reality is just like, I don't quite understand it. A little bit like Nina, but not as extreme. The fact is, no, but like you said, though, legit, she called and she was very dismissive. This is crucial, important information. And Maxie continued talking. Like Maxie should have been the first person that you call. And then she went into that. Then she realized it's like watching Anna's like watching her little flip switch. And then she's like, oh, yes, you know, like, of course, I wanted to protect you. And this is all I ever wanted. But yet you were ready to hang up with her like 2 minutes ago.
She's been vowing she would do this for Maxie. She's been vowing like, exactly. I vow the baby. I'm going to find him. I'm going to make this right. And then she's like, what? What? I'm in Greece. What? I'm in the middle of something. And then Valentine calls. Hold on. Let me step away. What is the matter?
Right?
Let's talk it out. Do you need me, Valentine? Oh, my God. What's going on? What is happening? So it gets a little interesting for Maxie.
Yeah.
Okay. That's about it. I'm just kidding.
I was like, are we headed to the non-denomination church?
No. Well, I mean, they didn't start there. So the thing is, like, okay, so Chase really stepped up and I'm still confused because I'm like, how has he not found a reason to arrest Brooklyn and Maxie? False statements, fraud, like make-believe kidnapping. Like, okay. What happened? Because like I don't understand how he is willing to go along with this, because all he does is like view crimes, like crime, arrest. But he's doing it. He's diving in. This is like a different side of Chase, like a funner side that.
Well, you're the one that, okay, so last week you convinced me, because I'm like, nah, he's gonna get mad and things are gonna go awry, and you're like, no, there's the gray zone, and he just like wholly embraced all of his gray zone.
Oh my god, like, I should listen to our podcast more. I did say all those things. You're right, I knew this.
And I was the doubter, and then I watched this week and I was like, damn, he's like fully jumping into that gray zone hard.
He's committed, and I realize how bad it is.
So bad.
It's really bad. But like, okay, so Maxie walks in. She's like, he knows everything. She's like, you're going to have to be super clear on what everything means. Because, you know. And so she finds out everything. And I guess I didn't know, because I thought, okay, well, she now knows that Peter's arrested. So this is all kind of over. So I was wondering, how will this go down? Yes. Valentine is still in the building. Valentine has been told a million different stories. So there's a lot happening there.
Yeah.
And so then it was interesting, right? Because it was like solidifying this new relationship. You know, it was quite serious. You know, I want you to be her parents. And he's like, yes, I'm going to step up and do this. He wants to help them. Like, he's really in this new circle.
Which I love, because like Brooklyn and Chase just love each other. And Maxie is
Brooklyn's BFF. They do. And it's just, look, like, I get what Maxie and why she's doing it. And honestly, I feel like she's the only one who sees Peter for who he is and is taking the proper precautions, like, yes, to understand that he could evade justice. So I get it. And this is tough, right? This is an interesting baby switch, because the mom knows and is part of it.
Yes.
So this is, to me, kind of different and kind of interesting. But also, I can't imagine how hard it is for her. But this is like, this is a lot. Like, this is a lot of changes happening. Mm-hmm. In terms, like, when I just think about Lulu, for instance, and I think about Max's relationship with Lulu and the relationship with Lulu and what Lulu walked away from and how she knows things to be. So this is just a lot there, but it was so cool to see, like, I guess you could say cementing the start of everything with Brooklyn and Chase, because I was concerned that Chase finding out would result in a conflict between him and Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. But what's been really cool is not only is there the gray zone, but this is the secret that actually will bring them closer together as a couple.
Yes. Like, I love when I think they were at the vending machine or something like that, but she actually for once said we shouldn't talk about this in public.
Yes. Acknowledging voices are a thing. Sound is a concept. So all of that, right? Acknowledged.
And he's like, why are you letting me go along with this? Or, she's like, you're one of the three people that I trust in the world. Yes. Or the two people I trust in the world. And he was all like, aw. And she was all, aw. And I'm like, oh my God, I love them.
I know. The whole thing was amazing. And it was a big deal. Like, when, you know, Brooklyn did take the time to kind of confirm that he was willing to do this and to kind of maybe highlight to him what this lie would mean. And then I really started to think, and I'm like, oh, wow. Like, when you contrast this with the lie he did for Sasha, that was a big deal, right? We all saw the consequences, but it also involved lying to his brother. And now he's put in a position where he has to do it again. And so this is a really big lie. And I loved how he went to go talk to Finn and all of that, but it's just this lie. Like, if one, he gets to be part of the Quartermains again. Okay. Yes. I also loved his surprise daughter chat in the mirror that he had while he was naked.
Oh my God. The best.
But it's like, now it's like a different, like, this has been, this lie has been bad for the little girls on the show. Yes. Because Charlotte was impacted, now Violet will be.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is kind of insane because it's like, it's the circles, right? So, you know, there was Valentine, but now I see like a merging between like Finn's life of Elizabeth, Violet, and Brooklyn and Chase, right? It expands that circle. So I know I was talking about like Lulu, and I guess this is more what I meant, this idea of that who Elizabeth was to Lulu. Also, right? It was her family. And now, you know, all of this is going to basically makes everyone soften toward Brooklyn if they can get over all the baby daddy lies of what they think are lies.
But she's pretty charismatic, so I think she'll be able to do it. But okay, this is a big future thought, and we'll put a pin in it after I say it.
Okay.
Okay, so Violet, little tiny Violet, you're right. There's people, like, Brooklyn's going to come into her life with this baby. Then this baby's not really related to Violet. We have Hayden, who's come in and out of her life. We have her grandmother, who saw her once and then passed away. She has all these women in her life that just kind of flow in and out, and I'm curious to see what that, how she's going to hold that with her in her character as she grows.
Oh, wow. Because it's funny because this is echoing a little bit of Curtis's new backstory. Yes,
exactly. Exactly.
Wow. Really good. so what I also thought was cool with the whole Finn thing is that he pointed out the Tracy connection because he's friends with Tracy.
Yes. I forgot about that.
But he was like, wait a minute. Tracy's granddaughter? Brooklyn, like, it was really interesting him making that connection.
Yeah.
Super cute about Finn is how he points out that he's losing that, like, quirkiest doctor title.
Yes.
But then at the end, he kind of got it back, I found. Yep. When he responded to Austin being like, maybe you being alone in front of the TV is best after all. Like, I was just like that blunt statement. I'm like, you're back, you win. But I have to say, like, I love the visual of just the doctors, right? Because it is called General Hospital.
Yeah.
And so, and we do often see like the girls' nights, right? But it was so cool to see like TJ, Finn, and Austin together, and this idea of them all possibly sharing Thanksgiving.
I know, right? I thought it was really sweet for TJ to invite Austin. I'm like, this would be like the most peculiar Thanksgiving.
I know, and I thought it was interesting that TJ and Molly were sharing with Finn and Elizabeth. Again, interesting circle.
Right? Different. I love it.
Even though it's like abstract, because we wouldn't see it.
In my mind,
the event is a name only. It's not actually going to be experienced. But like, then TJ gets a surprise, you know, visit from that mystery patient that he knows is a mystery person, inquiring about his Curtis.
Oh my god! But like, he was just talking in more riddles, and like, I could not handle it.
I know. I'm like, it's gonna be really like, you're making it difficult for people to trust you because you purposely act mysterious.
Right.
Like,
I can't.
Like, I'm gonna state all these facts about you. Okay. I won't tell you how I know any of this, but what I want is I want you to trust me. Okay. I want you to trust that I know a lot that you don't know. And I also want you to feel safe going in a room with just you and I. Okay, because I feel I have earned all of that. Okay. Like, I'm just like, this is not good. This is not good. That's not how you approach strangers.
No, and I was actually pretty shocked that he went straight from Curtis's to TJ. Like, you're the revelation. I'm doing big air quotes.
I see it. I feel it. Oh, windy.
Right? Like, and Curtis didn't even get, oh my God, Curtis was talking in riddles. I'm like, oh, so it's in your DNA.
Oh, that is so true. Like, okay, Portia won't stop talking about this man. And you couldn't just say, yeah, he showed up. He said he's my dad. I just go right from there. Instead, he was like, well, blah, blah. You're right. He told, like, he is his father's son, 100%. Mm-hmm. And also with Portia, I'm like, they need to give her more to do because so far she's just a great summarizer of things.
What did I write about them? I think I was pretty. Okay, so he's like, what are you doing here? I thought I locked the door. And I'm like, dude, but she's standing in front of you. So I'm like, is this a metaphor? Like, you can't let her in your heart?
Maybe, because it's always open. Like, I just, you know, because everybody walks in. Everyone walks in. Like, I've never heard him acknowledge this idea of, like, being closed or the door being locked. People constantly walk in.
Maybe, like, it's as a concept, not as a reality.
But exactly. Everyone can, like, walk in, right? But, like, Portia is, like, different. She can't get in. We're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to keep talking about doors and trying to make this work. Oh my gosh. I was so frustrated at work that I almost, like, if I could send an email that I wanted to, I would have loved to have been like, maybe you should try using the close feature on your door. Maybe. maybe that would solve your problems. Anyways, so, that's enough with the doors. What did you think about this, right? And it just, like, that Portia points out to Curtis, like, look, if you wanted to go deep, you could search and know more about this person. But he kind of acknowledged, but, like, I don't want to.
I thought it was so funny because she's like, so you just did a quick search on the internet? So the one thing that I find interesting is that once again, Stella's name gets brought up, that she would never lie and that all the sacrifices she made. So I'm really curious how she plays back into the story and if she actually did know and that's why she made those sacrifices, or that's why she, you know, her character is built the way that it is, because this is the second time her name has been brought up in the story.
Really? I don't think I've ever heard Stella mention all the sacrifice she's made. like, I don't know how that would change how Curtis looked at her. I don't know.
Curtis is an upheaval.
He doesn't. Yeah, Curtis is a mess, and I don't know how he'll see things, right? Because he doesn't like it when people lie about people being dead in order for the greater good. We already know this. He's not a fan of that. So this is going to be not so good.
It's like, move out of Port Charles. This is life there.
This is life. People sometimes have to fake die for the greater good. And sometimes they can't tell you that. And I think we need to respect it.
That's so good.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so Valentine is devastated.
He's so sad. He's like pretty sexy. It makes sexy me sad. He's sad.
Yeah. I know. It's like, we're so extreme. It's like, oh my God, when they cry, it's like, I think you're so hot. And when you're violent, I think you're so hot. It's like, I don't know. It's a problem. But, like, a lot is happening in that hospital, okay? So, like, Valentine's stuff is happening. And then, like, Sasha's stuff is happening. Mm. And then it's, like, that realization that, like, hey, I guess you lost a fake daughter. You gave Nana a fake daughter and then took it away.
And then her fake daughter's having a baby that's having problems.
And Nina's trying to get into her fake daughter's room by wanting to know about her fake grandchild and being like, we were family once. It's really okay. It's really messed up because it's just this week, like, it just feels like between, like, Nina, Sunny, Valentine, like the Sasha, like all of it, it just feels that everybody is just on the other side of, like, very familiar deceptions or betrayals, right? Because Nina went after a lot of people for lying to her, and here she is, like, lying, and then she's telling Valentine, like, after everything he's done, she's like, love makes you capable of anything. And the thing is, she said it proudly, or crazily. I couldn't tell the difference in how she said it, but I was like, okay. But also funny on Nina's end, though, is because she knows what's going on with, like, Louise/Bailey.
Yes.
I loved watching her being so confused by all the additional lies because she knew they were lies. She was just like, she's like, what? Chase? Like, you think Chase, did someone tell you that? And she's like, maybe there's a good reason. And it's just, it was like hilarious because it's getting out of hand. The lies are getting out of hand. But it's just interesting because she's having a conversation with Valentine about lies.
Well, yeah. And I love what she said. She said, maybe the real father's no good before he said it was Chase.
I know, she tried. She's trying really hard to give him some hints, but I'm like, but then what? Because earlier you're telling Sunny, you know, like, Jax could have told the truth, Kylie could have told the truth. And it's like, well, Nina, you could have told the truth to Valentine.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Like, there's just a lot. Like, of course I know everybody's done things, but just these situations, I find they're so mirroring and overlapping, and it's, like, all kind of in your face all at once. You're like, what is going on? Because it's an interesting situation for Nina to be in. She lists all the betrayals, but at the same time, she's in a position where she's done a lot of those same things and defending those actions.
Exactly. And then being praised by Valentine at every turn.
I was like, did you lose touch since you went to Nixon Falls? Like, did you, like, what do you mean, like, you're so great and how have things been? I'm like, you did know what she was doing. You found out Sunny was alive. I don't know if it'll change when she finds out that she was romantical with him. Like, I don't know if that will change his opinion. Mm-hmm. Or if he'll be like, you are an amazing person. Keep it up. Like, I don't know. And freaking Sunny.
Just before, because a joke came in my head. Valentine,
tell it. Be let it out. Let it out.
He's going to be like, oh, good for you, because now you're not my problem anymore.
I feel like he forgets about her until she comes in his face.
That's so true, though.
Because he's been so fixated on Anna and Brooklyn, who he obviously sees as as his family, right? Like, he really moved on in that area.
Oh, my God. But this whole Sunny at Charlie's and this, okay, like, oh, okay. Are we ready to go there? Because I have anger.
Okay, let it out. I'm ready for it.
I have anger feels. So when he goes, okay. I'm going to take a breath. So when he had that conversation, Sunny and Carly, and he was very dismissive. Obviously, Bobby was like the saving grace. Mm-hmm. I believe that was last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's then a recap. Okay.
And then we contrast it with him seeing a sad Nina at Charlie's. He gets all Sunny about it, and then he stomps away, and then he's like, oh my God, but I love her. So he lets Nina talk out the crazy, see all of the things. He gives her space to be, to listen to her. But Carly, no. And I had such a hard time seeing that version of Sunny be that way with Nina and dismiss Carly at every turn, making her feel like her feelings don't matter. But Nina's fake feelings for her fake daughter matter like a lot from her fake world and their fake love.
Oh, wow. That is really, that's a lot of pretend things to have. That's like a, I mean, talk about imagination, but a lot of her life has been imagined. Like, her relationship has been imagined. Her daughter was imagined. Like, a lot of it are concepts. Like, yes. Like the concept of Nell, the concept of Sunny being the only person who's ever been nice to him.
Oh, my God. That was brutal when she said that.
Because it's an explanation. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I did this because no one's ever been nice. And you are nice to me. And I like it. It's just like, okay. Because, like, what?
Like, he doesn't know you're crazy. Like, you went in there pretending to be, again, big air quotes, normal. He has no idea of your past. You created your life. So, yeah, people are going to know some stuff about you.
The worst part is Sunny has his memory back and he knows the stuff.
That's
and
true.
He's still there. He's still turned back around, right? He's still turned around. And when you, like, talk about his conversations with Carly, like, I find she keeps trying to accommodate him, showing him, I trust you.
Yeah.
The fact that Nina felt comfortable even, okay, to, you know, they're having that conversation, but she felt comfortable to throw in Carly's name there. Like, Carly could have told me the truth and all this stuff. He says nothing. He says nothing to a lot of what she says. Like, he allows her to kind of voice her frustrations about Carly. He doesn't, like, overly defend her or get super territorial. Well, not recently anyway.
But when Carly mentions Nina's name, you see the eye roll right away and he shuts it down the minute her name comes out of Carly's mouth.
And he manipulated the situation when he knew that Nina was visiting Sasha.
Yes.
To get Carly and Gladys away, to keep them apart.
Yeah. He's up.
I just found it so bizarre that, like, you know, Nina is, like, reflecting and all, like, her lies and betrayals with Sunny. And I just couldn't believe that I was listening to her try to compare herself to, like, what Sasha did versus what she did.
It was crazy town. Everything she says, like, part of me is so mad. And the other part just has to laugh because it is unbelievable that her brain circles in that way.
I'm like fascinated by it. Right. Like, I'm fascinated by her perspective of stuff when she's like, you know, Sasha did this. I did this too. I convinced my, like, I'm just like, but the thing is, like, Sasha was like blackmailed, right? Like, Valentine leveraged things.
Yes.
Of her situation to get her to do something, and then got her in too deep. And then Sasha got to know Nina, and then she was like in this really bizarre situation where it took off of a life of its own. And I get it. That is similar to Nina, but the thing is, no one made her do it. No one gave her money. No one gave her money. No one gave her an outside incentive to start something.
Yeah, she didn't have a sick grandma.
No, she just convinced herself it was the right thing to do from the start.
What
always, I can't... throughout.
Okay, so to be fair, like, and I've said this before, but I'm gonna say it again. Nina did some bad, like, terrible stuff. I was going to swear a bit, but she did some terrible stuff. But I also cannot wait, because Nina's going to get defensive for sure when stuff comes out. And she's going to say, I asked Sonny multiple times if he wanted to find his family. And he said, no. I want to see all the crazy come out, not just hers, his too.
In that conversation Sonny had with Carly, that came up quickly. Did you notice? About me initially not, they referenced that so fast, but jumped off of it so fast. He said something like, you know, like something about initially not wanting to come, like not wanting to know or something. But then like once I knew whatever, it was so quick, but I remember they said something about it in their conversation. That's the whole thing. Everything that gets brought up that's big and serious gets really dismissed. Like Carly tried to explain, I'm hurt about finding out that Nina was your friend. And the first thing he said was, I didn't exactly say that.
You're right. Yes.
What other word was there? When you said she was the only friend I had, did you mean like no one else existed? So I used that word because there's no other word to use. Like, what do you mean? That's not what you said. So it's just getting to be a lot. And I don't know. I don't know what to think right now. Like Carly was at the park and we saw her leave that message for Jason. So she finally, you know, felt compelled to reach out. And obviously that was the point where I was like, this is not going to be fine, because it felt like a last message, or it just felt really not good at all.
Yeah.
And then I think whatever that was with Jax was like a last scene.
Yes.
I mean, it was no Drew elevator scene, but it was there. And I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, it was casual. I'm going out of town. I've heard it before sometimes on the soap. Some people just sort of announce they're leaving town. But with the way that the storyline was going, all the stuff he referenced fit, because he was at a point where he was on the outs, and he was right on the outs with so many people.
No, I agree. But when he said he's on the outs with everybody, I'm like, so is Nina, but she's diving in deep.
That is so true. She doesn't care. Like, if he were to stay and if there was going to be story, it would have to be because Jocelyn found some stuff out.
I agree. Like, the funny, like, I kind of twisted it to make it entertaining for myself, because I was just annoyed with him in terms of, like, what he was saying. He was just, like, repeating all of the reasons why he's annoying. But I'm like, in my head, it's funny. He's like, I'm just getting out of Dodge before she finds out that I knew about Nina and Sonny all along. Bye.
But that is so true, right? So that part we're not going to get to see. And I guess that's the tough thing right now with this storyline and with Jason. Like, look, it doesn't even matter if he's dead, because the death would be temporary of the of the character. So we know that the death would be temporary. I don't know. There's advantages to, let's say, if Jason is dead, right? It sucks. And maybe we'll get a bit of both, right? We'll get a bit of like, we think Jason is dead like last time, and then there might be a potential recast. And so the idea there is like, that would be heartbreaking, right? So this is something that we have to watch Britt kind of manage. Then we have to manage, like, what does that mean for like a Britt Carly encounter? What does that mean for Carly now? Because it's interesting watching her spin. She's so destabilized, and you could tell, right? Because she's not herself. Like, Sonny is not himself. She doesn't know how to act, and therefore she is also not herself. She's feeling insecure, and with reason, right? Yes. Like, all of her instincts, she's shutting them aside to try to, you know, make things okay. And so she's kind of spiraling, and there's not really anyone there. So I am kind of curious, like, we're seeing everyone else build their circles, right? We're seeing like Chase connect with Brooklyn and Maxie. We're seeing Elizabeth, you know, make this connection with Finn. We're watching, mm-hmm. you know, Dante and Sam merge their families together. And part of me does see like a next chapter for Carly. And I am curious to see what kind of connections and support she will have, because all of that is sort of ripped away, I find.
Oh my God. Okay. So you made me think about what we talked about when Sunny was Mike. It's that Carly was building her empire, building her friendships. Like, we want to see like Miss Wu. We want to see Ava. We want to see these strong women in her circle. And I like, I do want, like, I think you brought it up at some point. Like, what would it look like if Carly lived in her own apartment? What would it look like if she started her life her way all over again?
Oh my gosh, I would love to see it. Like, she needs drinks with Diane. She needs to hang out with Olivia. Like, there needs to be something else going on. And I mean, I think we're headed that route. But I mean, look, I never imagined it going this way. They really opened up this can of worms with this idea of a Jason Carly.
They did, but like, we have no choice but to look at it from this way, because, you know, we don't know when a recast would happen. Obviously, I would like for the story to play out. There's so much story there that needs to be seen. But at the same time, Carly's always been tied to either Sunny or Jason. Obviously, there was like AJ for a period of time. There were some other people in there, but her main people were Sunny and Jason. Like, I want to see a Carly, just a Carly, and see what happens.
I wouldn't hate that. I wouldn't. And I guess what I have to say about, like, let's say if that is cut, right? You know what I mean? Like, Jason's just not there, whatever. Mm-hmm. Part of me, how I do look at the storyline, like even the almost with Brit, like it's soap operas that they're on forever. You never know, right? Like, if somebody's not dating now, it's potential they could circle back. Like the whole Jason Carly thing, you know, that circled back after like what, 20 years. But what I also thought when I looked at that storyline is just that, like, it is reflective of real life, right? It's about choices. People have different choices. People have different paths that they can go down. Everybody has that, like, almost could have been thing. So that's also how I see it. And it's also why, like, I value those stories, because of course there was something there with Brit. Of course there was like a potential there with Carly. And that's just sometimes just real life, this idea of a path that did not get followed. And so even though things are getting cut short here and there, like, to me, I do find that concept to be realistic. I do find the concept of mourning something you almost never had to be a very real experience that people have. So
yes.
So even if this got, like, as much as, like, I'm saying this is not how I thought this journey of Jason and Carly would go, the other part of me sees that as like a realistic experience of things getting cut short and grief.
Oh, and, I'm loving, you know, all of that. Love it.
So on to other more super depressing stories of the week. Like, it's been 3 days, but I feel like it's been quite heavy. So things aren't fine just yet. Mm-hmm. But I find that Sasha and Brando have been doing a really amazing job with this storyline.
Okay, like, I'm going to throw out an early gold star, but wow, like, them as partners, the range of emotions, really feeling in the moment with them. I mean, we both have kids, and just that whole experience, what that would have been, they were incredible. And I loved the support they had by the people around them. Like, it was so different and interesting. Like, we always talk about how different groups kind of come together for certain situations, and this was definitely one of them.
Like, I don't know if I'm crazy. Like, I don't know if it's just because, like, we grew up with the show and we have kids and all those people we grew up with have kids on the show. But I don't remember this being younger and watching where they actually talk about being parents.
No. And I don't remember being in, like, let's say the operating room with like a C-section or something like that. Like, I find they're bringing a lot more like real life stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what always made GH really interesting, is they incorporate different ways and perspectives of a situation. But I agree, I don't remember it being this way.
And so that's why I really, really appreciate the conversation that Elizabeth had with Sasha, just kind of reassuring her that it's not your fault. Mm-hmm. You didn't do anything, and trying to kind of connect with her as a mother. So I loved all of those scenes, and it was emotional for everybody, but it also humanized Gladys. Like, Gladys finally is reading the room, is finally feeling the gravity of a situation, right? Is finally feeling really connected to something and feeling something, where she's actually on a similar wavelength as everyone else, right? Because she's often not. She's often very much disconnected from reality. Her emotions and reactions are often disconnected, and she makes, like, she becomes unrelatable to people around her, and it creates distance, and it creates, like, trouble connecting with others. So the fact that, like, Gladys's whole demeanor changed a lot. I mean, look at how gentle Sunny and look at how gentle Carly was with her.
I know that was kind of jarring. Just the whole thing of like Gladys being human, Sunny and Carly just kind of bringing her in and supporting her. Oh my God. And the part that got me the most was when, you know, Brando comes out and Carly's like, let's go get him something. And Gladys, you know him best, so you come with me. I was like, whoa.
Part of me is like, I'm not sure it's because Gladys might have Gladys'd up Brando's situation. You know, that he needed that talk with a father.
Yes, fair. But the fact that they maneuvered the situation, like it was just exactly. Very interesting to follow and watch.
Yep, maneuvering is right. Again, Sunny follows up with his own maneuvering once everybody comes back from the cafeteria. Yeah, so I loved all of that. You know, I like the scenes with like Brando, you know, going to like visit his son, and just I like the walkthrough that he got from Epiphany. Yes. The questions, and anyways, it was really well done, and obviously I'm hoping for the best for them, but that was really rough. A lot of kid stuff, right? Even like Olivia showing up to talk to Austin. No headway there with Austin.
No.
A little late, I guess, but even there, you know, Olivia did a huge thing going over to talk to him and acknowledge that she was wrong and that he truly did care about her son.
It was really impressive. And also I found like this whole week was about like contrast, just like very extreme contrast. And, you know, how many times did he try to speak to Olivia and she just flat out shut that door, you know, would berate him at like restaurants, just like would be so upset when he walks in a room. And she got that same response from him.
Yes. Trying
to be apologetic and soft and looking at the bigger picture of things. So everything was very like interesting to watch personality wise. And how the situation shifted with people.
It's definitely been a lot of that. People kind of finding themselves on both sides of a same experience.
Yes.
Of coins, of things with two sides, doors. It's a lot. A lot of that happening. But like, you know, again, Finn told Austin to stay home because Austin seemed to kind of be filled with some sort of like rage, anger, vengeance. Stuff.
Yes. Some darkness. Darkness. It's interesting to use that word because in my notes, I'm like, okay, is he gonna get into cahoots? Is that the right word? Work with Valentine. I'm just gonna say he's gonna work with Valentine.
Yes, agreed. I don't even know who Valentine was talking about, whose death he was arranging.
I'm
a little scared, and I feel like someone's gonna talk to Valentine before he does something insane. And so Brooklyn does talk to Ned, and honestly, like, he's no longer being a Ted. He's fully taking responsibility for the pressure he put on Brooklyn. You know, she's taking a lot of crap by doing this, right?
Yes.
Like, she's taking a lot of crap by doing this. And she knows how easy it is for people to think the worst of her. But I guess I did not anticipate, and I don't necessarily disagree, but I'm like, wow, like, from Ned's perspective, I can see how Chase, as lovable as he is, doesn't come off like the good guy. I kind of forgot about how Ned might have seen, like, the timing of, like, Willow.
I know.
The whole Will thing. I was like, that's okay. Yeah, like, I can't disagree with that. And then Chase is like, crap, he's not going to like me. Like, it's all going to be so fun. and then it's like it's gonna have to make sense, because like she's like, no, like we have to be in this together, so he's gonna have to find a way to like, I was mad at her, but like I'm not anymore, I'm okay. We're gonna raise her together. And I love that, like with Finn, he's like, yeah, I guess I did always know she was my daughter because I was living there and we spent time together. Oh my God, this is amazing. Like, it's a really big lie. And I mean, maybe part of him selfishly, this is speaking to the gray zone, yes, is going to love watching and telling Willow. Yes! All that friction. This is going to be good, because Willow's going to witness two people like on the same page, right?
Oh my God. So
on the
fun because
stuff?
They're like the underlying soap opera, like the mild one. So, yes, I cannot wait.
So good. Okay, so another little love story that I loved. It was so cute to see Dante and Sam merge their fams together. You know, it was nice. It was like, wow, who are these children?
It was, I wrote new relationship, new sons.
It was all brand new, like all of it. But I liked it. I really, really did like it. I love how they said that they were official. What was your initial reaction when Dante suggested the kids watch Christina Comes Home for Christmas?
I was confused, but I did see your post.
Okay. So I was dying of laughter because I was like, oh my God, are they actually like throwing shade at themselves, because I'm assuming the writers wrote the line. And I thought at first that they were making fun of like Christina just being absent.
Yes.
Oh, they share a sister. I forgot about that. Because it's Leo. But then I was like, yes. Oh my God, Christina would be so happy. It makes family gatherings so simple. Like, you don't have to divide your time. You can be like, my sister and my brother are married. It's really funny. It's really funny because Johnny had the best time telling people this. So at our wedding, a cousin from his father's side met a cousin from his mother's side.
Yes.
And they started dating. So then we were invited to their wedding. And so whenever anybody would ask who's getting married, he would happily tell people, my cousins are married.
Such a funny guy.
It was the best because honestly, you go to the wedding and you're like, oh, I know all these sides. It was confusing, but everybody was together and it was great. It was great. So, okay. Chances are that story won't be there anymore by the time we post this. Maybe I can repost it, that story. So there, I had posted a link to explain the whole Christina Comes Home for Christmas. It's actually a reference to One Life to Live.
Yes.
That's all I'll say because there's more. And I don't want to get it wrong. So. Just a teaser to get you to Google it. But anyways, I don't know. I'll probably get credit for this. No, I'll probably just post the story again over the weekend in case anybody is
interested
in learning stuff. And so, yeah, so loving the Dante Sam, their conversations. I loved Sam's experience with her brother Danny, right? Coming into the conversation about Leo. So I loved that. I loved how he was all like caring about like, oh, your life, you have a story. Like, it was all so cute. I really loved it. But how pointed for Sam to be like, you know what I love about you, Dante? When you go out into the world, you're there to like stop trouble, not cause it. I was like, yoikes, yoikes.
Burn.
Oh, anyways, yeah, that was a lot. And then, you know, the kids are getting along, super cute, love it all. And then the door is open and it's Drew. And I was like, that's what made me scared also. It was like, okay, so you came back to Port Charles and Jason is still there in the underground extra tunnel.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking. So it made it real and it made me not okay. I was like, oh no, it's getting real. They've left Greece and they've come home.
I have two problems with this because yes, it just like some reality set in for me. One, and he was beardless and we don't know if he's deactivated or not. Like Dante went to therapy for a long time. Like will Drew go to therapy to make sure like nobody can reactivate him?
Okay, so I thought about this. Okay, so no, he's not deactivated. The cards have just been buried under rubble.
That's true.
So that's it. But Obrecht would do it. And that's the thing. Drew formed his relationships, right? Connected to Brit. He started a relationship with Valentine. You know, Obrecht's really been his, like, Obi-Wan Kenobi. I really hope I'm making a correct reference here. But it sounds like it's right. And she's been that person to help coach him through mind control.
That is very, okay, I'm feeling better about it. Because I'm like, is he going to snap? Is there going to be more drama? But, like, he's going to get help. I feel better.
Yeah. So now he's home. And so like, Sam is like, you're alive again. And like, how many dead husbands can someone, how many dead baby daddies can return to just for one person? It's too much for a single human person to deal with. Yes. I think it's going to be really hard. I guess one out of two ain't bad, you know?
And you know what? Like, I know it's sad, but Dante is like, you know, I'll be here to help you. Like, just the support he gave her in that moment, knowing that she doesn't know what she's going to have to face. And like the next couple of months or whatever, that made me feel better.
But I love it when they were talking about like doing each other's Christmas trees, and I know it sounded weird, and skating. I was just like, it made me like warm and fuzzy, borderline Hallmarky. So I'm kind of loving the family vibes. I kind of like it. There's so much going on. And it was so nice to see like the merging, because we like it when people like commingle, but just like watching it happen, their kids together, and like this idea, right, of like him coming to the Davis events and her coming back to all of Senny type events, and the fact that they have mutual family in the Quartermains. Like, I don't know, kind of cool for me.
But in terms of their like relationship and love, it's like, okay, who's she with? Like, he was
Drake.
Yes. Oh my God. You read my mind. Exactly. So it was like that, but more herself with Dante. Like, I still felt like she wasn't 100% herself with him. It was more like the idea of the relationship. Whereas with Dante, she's finally in that relationship where she could be happy. It's stable. He's on the right side of the law. And I'm just like super happy for her.
I really am. I really like them. And I hope we get to see more of it. So I do look forward to that. I feel like it could be like a bright side to things. Well, until they find out about Jason.
Shh,
everything's gonna be fine. Everything's gonna be fine.
I think we did it.
Yes, we did. We did. I'm so thrilled that we spent 1 hour talking about 3 episodes. I am thrilled.
Me too. I like talking to you.
Gosh.
I gave away all my lines already, so I'm gonna just pop out the gold stars. What about you?
I think I want to pop out gold stars as well.
Let's do it. Gold stars everywhere. You can't see me, but I'm doing the like flip the money thing with my hands.
Yes. I think, I don't know. I'm going to give gold stars to, I don't know. Okay. I'm going to distribute 2 gold stars, each going to a storyline.
Okay.
Okay, I am going to distribute a storyline to Greece, just because they went through a lot of stuff, a lot related to, like, you know, Brit and her potential journey, but also to the Brooklyn Chase Maxi.
Yes, absolutely agree.
Okay, I think that's it. Good. I think I...
I think your brain broke.
Yes, you did. I'm like, did I miss something significant? I feel like that's a good star distribution.
It's very technical. I'm
so tired.
Like I said earlier, Sasha and Brando, like, I think it's amazing.
Yeah, off. I messed up. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
But the way the system works is that you give the stars and I agree with you, and that I give the stars and you agree with me, and it's like a combined effort.
I agree that all of these stars are proper distribution of stars.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so yeah, maybe I do have a favorite line or something that just can, I was like, I can't do that. So when Obrecht's checking on Brit with her, like, she's like, oh my God, you might have a concussion. Can you say the alphabet backwards? And I'm like, wait, can I say the alphabet
backwards? Oh my God, I didn't catch that. I have to find that. I have to rewatch that.
Because I'm like, I don't think I can.
That is so funny.
Oh my God. Okay. We did it. It's done. It's completed. Have a, you know, to our American friends, have a lovely Thanksgiving.
Yep.
To our Canadians, have a lovely weekend.
And you don't have any time off. Just highlighting that.
And if anybody wants to know, it's my birthday on Monday. So I'm just throwing that out there.
This is so terrible. That's my job.
I'm sorry, but that's
I didn't know you want your birthday to be public, but it's your birthday.
Woo woo! I'm gonna be old, and I'm okay with it. As my hip cracks, as I'm dancing.
Oh my gosh!
Okay, so I'm gonna say that's a wrap, everybody.
Okay, bye.